U.S. Representative Rodney Davis. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Crazy morning already.
I know. And then a bird hits the window. And I'm just like, I don't even know what is going on today because I'm in the conversation with you as I got a video that was shared where you were at a bee pollinating event. And I have to be honest, I thought that you had maybe been a beekeeper in your backyard because I, you know, a lot of people have interesting hobbies. And no, you were just at an event, and I'm watching the video, and you got stung while you were doing this interview.
Yeah, right in the bridge of the nose. It was a surprise. But, you know, this was during a visit to Curtis Orchard in Champaign yesterday, and as a member of the House Agriculture Committee and the subcommittee chairman of the subcommittee that has jurisdiction over pollinator issues, beekeeping and pollinator issues were something I never thought I'd talk about in Congress. But we do, and I got a chance to actually help move a swarm of bees yesterday. And, of course, while I was talking to the media without a hood on, that's when one got me in the nose, and it's on video for all to see.
Yeah, we all think those hoods are ridiculous until that moment comes, and then we're glad we have it. Yeah, that was a crazy video. We'll have to share that on our Facebook page. I just have the short little bit where you were in the interview, but, yeah, that didn't make for a fun day, I'm sure.
I will not ruin it for your listeners, but I did not cry.
I have so much to talk to you about today, and I think we start with President Trump as we find out yesterday the firing of FBI Director James Comey. It sounds like it was an abrupt move, maybe unexpected, and we kind of wanted to see what your take on that was.
Certainly unexpected from me. This is something that the president and the administration are going to have to answer to. It's concerning, the timing, and I hope he had justification to be able to do that, and hopefully we'll see that today or in the coming days.
Well, and the question I guess many people are wondering this morning as we're talking to you, I'm sure, is do you still feel like you have a confidence in this president that you once had?
You know, I've got the chance to meet the president and work with the president and his administration, and I've actually been I've been somewhat surprised by his interaction and his willingness to listen, his willingness to want to work together. So this move yesterday was probably the most surprising move that I've seen out of that administration, and I hope they have some good reasons why, and hopefully that'll come out pretty soon.
Well, we also had heard this morning Politico cited sources, and I don't know how credible people believe that is or isn't, but they say that they believe from their sources Trump had been talking about this firing for more than a week. And as the president has moved around the White House, there were also some reports that there was quite a bit of frustration by him and his inability to control the mushrooming of this narrative around Russia, and that he actually would have outbursts or screaming at TV reports sometimes. Have you ever heard of any kind of interactions or outbursts from him, from people that are saying that they're around him? I'm sure there's a lot of stress right now.
Yeah, no, I've not heard that. And I've not seen that in my interactions at the White House or with the president, the vice president, or his staff. I hope that the president and his team are able to justify this action, and they're going to be the ones that have to answer to the American people. But I was surprised and somewhat troubled by the announcement as it came.
So we know that Comey's deputy director, Andrew McCabe, is now the acting FBI director. Do you have thoughts or comments on him?
I know nothing about him, so I don't have any thoughts or comments. And I hope as he's acting director, he continues to make the FBI one of the better law enforcement agencies that we have in this country and continue the tradition that it's built up.
All right. Well, let's step back a couple of days. How do you think your open office hours went here earlier this week? I know that you were there much longer than you had anticipated your visit was going to be. I think they said you started with larger groups and then stayed past about 5:30 in the evening, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these are things that I've been doing since I got elected. Gives constituents a chance to come in and sit down and ask multiple questions face to face and in groups. And we had a great turnout. Obviously, as you've seen on videos, I went out and met some of the protesters. I finally got to meet the cardboard cutout of me and get pictures next to it.
That was pretty awesome.
You know, it gets frustrating when you have folks, you know, laugh at discussions, and that's something that's unacceptable. And those are the things that frustrate anyone who wants to come and have a conversation with their elected official. But we sat down with everybody who was there. There were probably 40 protesters. I think we talked to over 50 people who came in, and we had great conversations. We were able to answer multiple questions. I'm not going to agree with everybody that I represent, and that's okay. But we got a chance to discuss why I vote the way I do and get a chance to discuss their interests. And that's exactly why the setting was conducive. 3 hours spent talking to constituents, multiple questions, and then another 4 hours and 20 minutes yesterday in Champaign, meeting with over 120 folks that wanted to come in and talk to me about what's important to them. Seven hours plus, hundreds and hundreds of questions, and that's what being a representative is all about.
Do you hear anything consistently brought up by multiple people that you maybe just give us a couple ideas of some of the concerns that multiple people have brought up to you?
Absolutely. There's a clear frustration with those who are opposed to President Trump and President Trump's victory, and even many who are opposed to me and my victory. And there's frustration on the healthcare front, but I'm happy, and I was happy to sit down and answer every single question as to why I helped craft different provisions in the American Healthcare Act and also helped to pass it out of the House of Representatives, because I see the facts, and the facts are we have 29 million people in this country that still don't have health coverage, even though the law requires them to. We have 31 million more that can't actually use the coverage they have. And those are the types of issues that, as a policymaker, I have to address, or I'm abdicating my responsibility. And there are a lot of people who I talk to who are in our district that believe that a single-payer health care system would be even better than the ACA, which many think is working well. I just don't agree with them on that.
You think you'll do you think you'll do this again? You'll have some open office hours or maybe come back to our area?
We do it all the time, absolutely. The funny thing is they've become a little more popular now. I remember doing them and having to sit through some open times with nobody stopping by. So I'm glad people are engaged.
Good. That's a good thing. Okay, let's switch topics one more time. So we know that you shared your recent findings concerning experiences with the nation's airlines with customer service as the spotlight. I believe you shared that with the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And mm-hmm. I think the notes that we had or what we had reported on is that they were surprisingly positive, you found.
Yeah, there were some surprising positive comments. Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. I know you're at a train station. We probably should have made that clear to our listener. But for me, I'm just
that's
waiting
okay.
for the train to pass.
Well, and that's exactly what was happening as I was trying to respond. Ironically, I was on a flight this morning, and I got a taste of some awkward customer service moments with some of the personnel on that flight, and it was interesting to see that. And it's always good for somebody like me who serves on a committee who has jurisdiction over the airlines to remind them that customer services should be their top priority. And they don't want government to come and solve their problems, and I don't think government should solve their problems. They should respond to their customers, and that's what we talked about at our hearing. That's exactly the type of those were the types of issues that my constituents brought up to me when we surveyed them. There was a lot of positive feedback on Southwest Airlines, so much so I asked the representative from Southwest if they hacked my survey.
You did say there was room for improvement. So what do we need to work on?
There's definitely room for improvement, which is, you know, something I've been working on. I've asked the airlines to address the issue that we see as frequent flyers often, where families get to the airport and don't realize their young children are seated, in different seats, mm-hmm. maybe a ways away on the airplane from the parents. That's something that easily should be checked by the airline beforehand. Every age of every passenger has to be given. I asked the airlines to try and address this problem on their own. They did not do that, so I introduced the Families Fly Together Act. That would mean that when you as a you're booking your family and you have young children, and you decide to buy reserved seats and there aren't any together, you would get a pop-up on your screen before you purchase that ticket saying, are you sure you want to do this? These are simple things that the airline should do to help their customers. And after we saw the videos of United and even American and others, those are unacceptable moments. And this is the time where the airlines have to police themselves, or government's going to have to do it.
All right. What did I miss? We've got a couple minutes left. Is there anything you want to fit in there?
Well, we haven't made fun of Scott yet.
No, we haven't. And he's out sick, and he's always gone when you're on. So what is there something going on I don't know about?
I'm beginning to take it a little personally. I mean, I may need to call him and get some Scott time just to harass him.
I know. The bromance is not happening. I have to tell you, he went golfing a couple days ago. So I'm starting to think maybe he was just too sore to get up off the couch this morning, and he just had to say that it was the flu. I'm not really sure. I don't have confirmed reports. But I will tell you that I saw the Tylenol come out for the first time the other day, and I know that it had something to do with the fact that he hasn't swung a club in almost a year or so.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm expecting and hoping to get him on a baseball field in July when he comes and plays in the game that he recruited me to play in.
Well, he will be definitely under conditioned for that, but he'll be there. He'll be there.
I hope so.
Well, it sounds like your train is coming, so I'm going to let you go. But we will be checking in with you, I'm sure, very soon. And thank you for the time today. I know that you've got quite a bit on your schedule, but we always appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me on. You guys take care. And Scott, get better, man.
He will work on that for you. Thank you again. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis joining us this morning.